Hey, you guys, welcome back to Let's Be Real. I'm super excited to get into this show with our guest, Chanel Dokoun. But before we do that, I know it's just Halloween, but I am thinking ahead and I'm really excited to bring you an Advent series. We're going to be doing this Advent series over on how to study the Bible for the few weeks leading up to Christmas. So I just wanted to point that out to you. If you've been kind of thinking about the Christmas season, this is going to be called God of Our Mothers, and we're going to be looking at the women in Jesus's lineage and what they have to teach us about grace. So I don't want you guys to miss out. So if you haven't yet, go on over to How to Study the Bible and subscribe. Those episodes come out every Monday. All right, you guys, here's Chanel. Chanel, thank you so much for being on Let's Be Real with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be with you today.
Absolutely. You've written an amazing book. You guys, this is a fun story about Chanel's book. Publishers will just send me books, and there's a lot of them, and I love to read, but there's only like so many things you can read at once. And we were getting ready for this year's podcast season, and this book came to me, and I just was drawn in like right away. And I read the first couple chapters and I was like, Chanel, you've got the tone that I love, which is like very self-deprecating, open about your own life, super honest, but also like direct, like, hey, let's do this. Let's get on with it. And I loved it, read the whole thing, loved the practical tips. I just feel like you are a girl after my own heart. So I'm like super glad to have you on the podcast and to introduce you to our listeners and our viewers today.
Oh, I love that. I love when you find those folks that you're like, yeah, I could have a cup of coffee with you. Like, yes. We could talk about some real stuff. So I'm glad that you had that reaction. And I hope your listeners, if they read the book, that they have that same kind of experience.
Well, I would say, like, you guys, if you like listening to this podcast, you're going to love Chanel. And what I love about what you've done in your book that we're going to get into in just a minute, I've got some questions, is you sort of combine like, hey, let me name the reality that you might be experiencing, but I'm going to give you actually very practical, doable ways to move forward so that while you're actually reading the book, guys, you already will have a sense of like, what are some things that I can do? And I felt like some of the practices that you laid out, I already like was reminded, okay, I want to implement. This is a really important part of my life. Some things that I've done before, but needed to hear again in a fresh language and with your voice were super helpful. So you guys, this is a huge like promo to say, you're going to love this book. Life Starts Now, How to Celebrate the Life You've Been Waiting For. But let's like get into it. This is a great coaching session. I always say to people, when you listen, this is the best free coaching that you're ever going to get when I get to have amazing folks like Chanel on the show. So I want to talk about the way that you kind of set this book up. You said, I wrote this book for women who are drowning. Yeah. So I want to hear more about what that means to you and how have you seen what it takes to kind of get your feet back under you?
Yeah. Well, I think so, you know, a hat that I wear, which is important for listeners to know, is I'm trained as a marriage and family therapist. I spend most of my time working with women in the life planning space, which is essentially helping people figure out their life purpose. So I feel like that's my area of expertise. So I have a lot of these private conversations with, well, everyone, but with women in particular, who feel like they're ashamed or feel guilty or just feel really stuck because they feel like their life looks from the outside looking in like things are okay, like they're functioning, right? And inside, they feel like they're drowning. They feel like they can't quite get it together or life doesn't look the way that it's quote unquote supposed to look. And so despite all their best efforts, they're striving, they're working hard to be successful in the world, and yet it's not working out for them. And so I really wanted to bring to the forefront those kind of private behind closed doors conversations to basically say like, you're not alone. You're not the only one who hasn't like figured out how to make life work. We all are struggling with these kinds of moments. And what I found is that a lot of that drowning experience is because I feel disconnected from who I really am. I'm pursuing a life that on paper looks good or that other people have told me is supposed to be satisfying or our larger culture is kind of affirming. But when it comes to who I am and what I'm really about, my actual life doesn't line up with that. So when you talk about, you know, what does it mean to stop drowning and kind of where am I taking women? It's really to this place of what does it look like for you to stand up in like the truth of your identity? What does it look like for you to be who you are? And to really put language to, you know, your talents and what you're passionate about and all of that stuff. So that's kind of the intention and heart behind the book.
I love that. So I'm so drawn in. I'm like, yes, 100%. Of course. I also think that people can be, women can be living a life where it does seem like they have it together, but they just don't feel.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel the way they thought it would feel, even though they have the things they thought they would want to have.
Right.
In addition, and that's its own kind of drowning, right? It's like, oh, I really did the things I thought I wanted to do, but it's not the kind of satisfaction that I thought it would bring, which I think you address really beautifully as well. And I'm really curious because, of course, this is what we're doing here on Let's Be Real. Like, why is this your passion? What, where did your own story come to bring you to the point that you're at now?
Yeah. So I'll say two pivotal moments in my life that led me here. One is exactly what you said, that feeling of getting what you want and it not paying off or not satisfying. My background's in magazine publishing, and I remember standing in Rockefeller Center and having this moment where my magazine had built a life-size kitchen in Rock Center. I was like behind the velvet ropes. Everything was glitzy and glamorous. People are wondering who I am and what's happening. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I have nailed it. Like, this was the goal. I've done it.
Yeah.
And thinking, oh my goodness, this feels so unsatisfying. So, you know, to realize like, oh, there are other things in my life that I'm passionate about, other parts of my life that maybe have been neglected. That was a real moment for me. And then, you know, since Let's Be Real, like the part that kind of breaks my heart a little bit that motivates my work is when I was a little girl, I'll never forget this moment. I was standing in a bookstore with my mom. She used to take me there when I was, you know, doing well or whatever. Her treat for me was you get a book, which is a little life hack pro tip for moms is
100%.
Treat that's your also kid like with a book.
Yes, my second grade teacher, give it up to Miss Melster. She always gave us books when we did well. And I was like, I love Little House on the Prairie, like everything about it. So yes. Okay, back to you.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
I'm with you on that one.
There you go. So we were standing in this bookstore and I'm running around and my mom kind of stops me and she said, Chanel, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I remember, you know, being so taken in by all the books and I was like, I want to be a writer. So, you know, nailed it. Check that off my list now.
Yeah, but did it.
Back then I was just like, oh, that would be so amazing. And she started grinning. She has these two huge dimples and she smiled at me and then her eyes kind of glazed over. And I, you know, when someone's with you, but they're not with you. So I was like, wait a minute, mom, where'd you go? What happened? And she said, you're so lucky that you know who you want to be and what you want to do. And she's like, I never knew. I just raised kids. She was the oldest of 11 kids. So she raised her siblings with a single mom. And she had three kids of her own. And she's like, I just kept raising kids. And I thought eventually it would be my turn. And my turn never came. Right. And so she never.
How old were you, Chanel, at this time?
I know. I was probably about 7 or 8 years old.
Which also, let's talk about like, I've often thought back to like the kind of people who become therapists, like what kind of like emotional awareness you had going on at 7 or 8 years old that kind of conversation was coming your way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's a separate conversation. But yeah,
totally.
Really interesting.
Yes.
That you're like having this like very adult conversation at 8 years old. So
yes, we can talk about me being a parentified child in a different section
that's
of this.
That's a separate episode.
Yeah.
Guys, if you need to hear about that, you can go ahead and just ping me and I will have Chanel come back.
Yes. I love that you're a counselor because that was the appropriate response that you're supposed to have to that no one else has ever asked me. But yes, it was this magical moment because I tuned into there was something there. And I think being a little girl and not being able to reconcile, like, what is this? And I saw the pain in my mom's eyes. And I knew that, you know, from my perspective, my mom was my superhero. I thought she was amazing. Sure. I thought her life was incredible. She had friends. She was loving. She was, you know, a godly woman, all these different things that I admired about her. And yet she felt that sense of emptiness. So in terms of, you know, getting back to your question of like what motivates me, I think of my mom all the time. Mm. Every woman I encounter, I think, has someone paused to ask her that question? Why do you exist? What do you want? Who are you? Mm-hmm. Has she been able to answer that question? Because I see the pain that that really causes when you don't have answers to those questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And I'm also curious, the magazine time, like, yeah, how far along in your career were you when that happened? Because I'm assuming then you went back to school and kind of found this new path. Yeah.
Totally. So I wouldn't say, you know, I wasn't like the editor in chief of a magazine. Let me be humble and real.
Wow, you look great for being 58 years old and pregnant.
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
no,
you sound like somebody's lived a lot of life, which I like.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
No, I just was a very old soul at like, you know, 28 or something. But yeah, I was probably mid-level in my career. I was both working at the magazine, but then doing freelance writing on the side. Uh-huh. So I had some positions as like a freelance editor and writer for some Christian publications. Mm. So I was kind of straddling this line of, you know, do I climb up the ranks? This was 2008, 2009. So all the magazines were starting to shutter because of the recession.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting time of like, do I continue in that path or hop to mental health? And that's, you know, mm-hmm. that's ultimately what I ended up doing.
Yeah. You're like, and then a global pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And everybody needs a counselor. And there's never been a time. I mean, that's a whole, another episode for another day, just about like mental health in our country and how do we help people when there's not enough counselors to go around. It's just difficult to find someone. But what you're doing though, and what we're trying to do here is to say, hey guys, there's a lot of you out there. You might not be actively in therapy. You might not even be in a situation right now in your life where that would be the right move for you. But there's a lot of ways to grow, right? There's a lot of ways to be intentional. And Life Starts Now really is about a lot of those things. You're kind of in the normal spectrum of stuff going on, but we all know that within normal can be drowning, overwhelmed, stressed out, and really not living life to the full in the sense of flourishing. And I think that's really what your book addresses. And I want to start with where you start, which is in this idea of daily liturgies. I'd love to hear, you know, even before you get into some of the deeper stuff about like having a life purpose statement and life equity and all this stuff, you talk about, okay, let's just start with this one thing. So can you talk to us about that one thing and does it work for you? Like, is it a practice that you're currently in?
Yeah. So what Nicole's referring to is this idea of dissociation. That's like our $20, you know, therapist word for it, right? This idea of we're disconnected from our lives. It's that out-of-body experience that we have. Mm-hmm. And I, one of the things I talk about in the book is that we spend so much of our lives like actually not inhabiting our own lives. We're thinking about stuff online, we're checking our phones, we're kind of moving away from our present moment. Mm. And that's often why we will wake up and say, like, I feel like I don't know who I am. Well, yeah, like you don't know who you are because how much time do you actually spend in your own life and tuning into who you are? Mm. And so one of the things I love doing with clients is actually helping them look at what are your liturgies, which is a beautiful, fancy spiritual word for habits, right? And like, how do I spend my time? I love liturgies though, because it adds this extra layer to it of that's actually forming me in some way, right? And so I do have a practice that I do. I love it. I call it my Reclaim the Morning practice. Mm. And it's really just this idea of because we're so disconnected from our own voice, we need to intentionally set aside time where our voice directs our own lives. So I have a practice that I do. In short, it's waking up early in the morning. Not so early, just waking up whenever, but the first part
early
of my
enough.
Day. Yeah, early enough. I have a 7-year-old, so it does require earlier. But waking up and making sure that I spend some time in quiet, processing my own thoughts, you know, what are my anxieties? What are my desires and passions? Mm. And I know that, and I remind myself of my purpose before I move out into like the chaos of my day. So I am doing it. It's, you know, some days I always say, like, again, let's be real. Like, I think it's okay to have grace for ourselves. And
sure,
you know, you don't have to do something like that every single day. It's great if you can. But some days, you know, mama needs her sleep. So I do that too.
sometimes the daily liturgy is extra sleep. But yes. I love what you're saying. And it's funny because I think you're the third guest this season who has talked about silence, solitude, and how we like return to our bodies, which tells me we're all trying to figure out how to re-inhabit the world, re-inhabit our purpose, re-inhabit the place that we're in after what's been like a very jarring, you know, and dissociating experience. You know, I think of, in a lot of ways, COVID to me has remnants of like war. When you read historical fiction about World War II or whatever, like, yeah, because everyone was disrupted and everything was disrupted. And we did experience like casualties as well, right? We just all were facing kind of a common enemy, but somehow we made each other our enemies. So anyway, there's so much to process with that. But I love that you're bringing these up because we're just hearing these simple practices. And I know for me, and I'm wondering about you too, I know that liturgies are happening all the time, whether I choose them or not. Like if you're not choosing them, they're choosing you. And it's probably your screen, you know, like, and it's probably your to-do list. That's most, and it's probably your anxiety list, whether that's written down or in your mind. Yeah. So you can choose, but something's shaping you. And often when I'll find myself, I'm not like a cheery, wake up cheery kind of person. My husband is. Mm-hmm. And if I find myself like over days or weeks being like, man, I'm waking up like sort of already frustrated or already anxious, it's because I have not done what you just said. You know, some of those little practices have fallen away. And when they fall away over time, you can find yourself in like a pretty bad spot, but you only need one small change to sort of turn it around is what I've experienced.
Yeah.
What do you say to women who don't know what to do at that time? They're like, thank you, Chanel, but what do I do while I sit here? You know?
Yes.
Write my grocery list.
Right. Right. Don't write your grocery list. So
step one.
You got to get it done. I don't know. There's grace for that too. Sometimes you got to do it. This morning, actually for my Reclaim the Morning time, I popped in to order skincare items because I was like, I got to do it now. Like this is the moment.
You know what? That's called self-care right there. I'm like, that is self-care. You're like, if I don't get this done.
I'm modeling it.
I get it.
Well, I mean, there's lots of ways. So I'm not a morning person. And I talk about that in the book of like, I really am not a morning person. Sleep is like the sexiest thing in the world to me. That's all I want is just to be in my bed and falling asleep. But I have found that there are some things that you can do to make it more feasible and to become more of a habit in your life. So we actually have on my website, there's like a full Reclaim the Morning course. So if you really like, I'm stuck and I don't know where to go, do that. It's super simple. And it actually gives you journal prompts and things to dig into it. But I will say, you know, the hallmark of it is to leave it pretty loose and open. I think sometimes we expect so much of ourselves for these morning routines. Like, you know, in order for me to have like a miracle morning or like to be a part of the 5 a.m. club, like I need to wake up and be super productive and do these rigid practices.
Yeah.
And this is like the antithesis of that. The whole point is that you're trying to connect to who you are. So you bring the content. If your content for the day is your grocery list, because that's truly what your anxiety is, work on your grocery list, right? But if the time is, you know, wow, that time when I was 7 years old in the bookstore with my mom and like, why did she say that? And that's what's flowing through my head that day.
Right.
Process that, right? And so I think just allowing yourself to get uncomfortable and just to sit in whatever is coming to mind. The other piece that I'll say is it's really about the threads that emerge over time. So it's not about the one day. It's about what am I consistently writing about? What am I consistently processing? Is it, you know, frustrations with my partner? Is it, you know, angst I have about the church? Is it uncertainty about where our world is going?
Right.
And as you start to do that day after day after day, you start to notice yourself, and that's what we want.
Yeah, I love that. Gosh, it's such a, and I'm so glad that you have a course because sometimes you just, it's like ordering the skincare products. Like sometimes you just need that starting point and that catalyst to be like, okay, someone's going to walk me through this so that I can kind of build a new habit. So guys, if that's for you, like thank goodness Chanel made that. That's awesome. So I want to move on and talk about two words that you use that I love, thriving and striving. Yeah. You talk about these words as ways that we can help kind of locate ourselves on the map of our story, of our purpose. Can you say a little bit more about what that's looked like in your life or in your clients' lives? And what are some of those things that we might be looking for to kind of understand who we are?
Yeah, I think when it comes to thriving, you know, that's really the space where you feel like you're living on level 10, right? Mm. It feels like you're actively being filled up. These are places in your life that are working, that feel like they're drawing you or pushing you closer to your purpose. So that's that like thriving space. Mm-hmm. I think where we feel alive, we feel like we're embodying our own life. The striving space is really where I'm putting on another life, right? Mm. It feels like I'm depleted and exhausted and overwhelmed. It feels like I'm moving away from who I am. And I'm probably expending a lot of energy to sustain whatever it is. So I think, again, that's one of the reasons I love that Reclaim the Morning practice is even just as a container for where can I process and kind of assess where am I thriving, where am I striving, right? Mm-hmm. So you can identify that and then start to take some action around it. But a lot of us have these places in our life that are just like these really hidden energy and time sucks that we, you know, we haven't called out. So I think that language can be helpful.
Okay. Let's be real for a second.
Yeah.
What if you're like, it's my children.
Yeah.
It's this season. I mean, I can think truly like, so my oldest is 20. I have a 20, 18 and 15 year old.
Okay.
And I can think of long seasons, years where I was like, I'm not made for this. Like, this is not this. I feel like I watch other women with their kids and they seem like this is really working for them. And it really isn't for me. And it was like, I actually look back and I'm like, oh, I was like a really good mom. Like, it wasn't like I wasn't doing it. It just was so like mentally exhausting to me. And I did not find joy in it, but obviously, like, what do you do when you realize I'm striving in something, my marriage, my children, something that's like you can't change or you're kind of committed to?
Yeah, that is so real. And I empathize with you. I am not wired to, you know, it's, I feel like I show up as a good mom, but I don't internally feel like I'm wired to be a mom in a lot of those ways.
I was like, if mom was a job description, I would never apply for it. Like, I'm not detail oriented. I'm not good at logistics. I hate crafts. Yeah. I don't want to run your PTA. Like, I just, every level, I'm like, I'm terrible at like the level of kind of organization and celebration that I feel like a lot of like your typical mom life is about. I really am like, I would never apply for this job. I would hire someone stat to do this job for me. I would never do it.
Yeah.
So, okay. Back to you.
Well, no, I've regularly told my husband, I'm like, we need to hire a mom or like a wife for our family. No. Can we afford that? What does it take to do that? So I'm with you. I think that when you're in any of those spaces where it's like, I can't actually change this. The reality is like, I love my kid. You know, it's the life that we have. I think just being aware that this is something that drains me. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, I have to find equilibrium, right? And to own the fact that I am entitled to a great, fulfilling life too. Like, that's actually, that joy is for me, right? I don't have to sit here and be a martyr and suffer in it. So if it is depleting, name it. You know, say I'm miserable in this. And then do something about it. Take ownership over, well, then I need to be even more intentional about finding spaces in my life that are going to fill me up. Because I know that, you know, when my kid, like even now, my kid's 7 years old, he's in second grade. He is an awesome, awesome little boy. You would adore him. He's very emotionally intelligent. He draws emotional window pictures, like that are different colors to describe his emotional state.
I love him so much already.
Yeah. His mom's a therapist. His dad's a psychiatrist. This is what happens. But he's amazing. And so even in that, he's emotionally like sensitive to, he comes home from school and it's like, what's, you know, on mom's face right now, right?
Yes.
He gets it.
Yes.
Even still, I'm excited to see him, but I know at that point in the day, it's going to be an energy drop for me. So mm-hmm. I have to then intentionally build in stuff around that that yeah. is going to fill me up. Because I know doing Kumon with him, sitting down, looking at his homework, that is not the joy of my life. So how do I
feel I feel the energy draining out of me right now just thinking about it.
You had a PTSD response. Like your face was like ooh.
No, I just was like, oh, I remember, like, yes, because I'm here to testify, by the way, that I'm guessing you, like me, will love teenagers. Like, I love this season.
Yeah.
Crazy. Love mm-hmm. it. But anyway, so yeah. So you know that's coming.
Yes.
So tell us, like, what do you build in?
Yeah. So I have to know that before he comes home, I have to fill my cup a little bit, right? Yeah. So self-care products, beauty yep. products. Maybe I'll do a facial before he gets there. I know that I really get a lot of energy and fulfillment from pouring into women's lives. So I do intentional work that is,
yeah.
I have sessions with, you know, one-on-one coaching because I know that that lifts me up to such a high degree mm-hmm. that I'm riding high by the time he gets home, right?
Yeah.
And then I know that I need a wind down time at the end of the mm-hmm. night. I need a good book. I need to be yeah. quiet and restore myself. So it's going to look different for every person, but I think that's why it's important to actually have a clear list of, like, what category does this activity yes. fit into so that I know how to care for myself well.
Well, and I love that because what you're saying, you're not saying this is not a manifest your reality in a really like unrealistic way. Mm-hmm. It's saying, yeah, like there may be places that are an energy drain in your life that you're still committed to, right. that are still important, but do you understand where your energy also gets filled? And are you in touch enough with yourself and care for yourself enough to even know those things and be willing to say, like you said, like, I am 100% worth this. Like, I have every, especially women, especially mothers, I have every right to have a fulfilling, I have every right to have a fulfilling life.
Yeah.
And I'm responsible, not just every right, but I'm actually responsible for that. Like, no one else is responsible for that for me. My husband can't figure that out. My children, for goodness sake, cannot figure that out. Like, and I feel like that's the message of my heart too for women, which is like, what brings you life?
Yeah.
And are you, where's the one little bit of it that you can reach for, even if most of life feels draining? Like, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that idea of taking responsibility, right? That's mm-hmm. a huge value of mine. Because, you know, I'm the chief, you know, kind of counselor of grace, like in terms of mm-hmm. wanting to dispense that
yes.
and have empathy for people. But I also believe that we have so much capacity to influence our circumstances. And so I think it's important that we own it and we do what is within our control to do.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's an important piece too, is like, I often say to myself, like, you know, no one's coming. Like, there's no one's coming to rescue you. I don't know who you think is going to come and actually, you know, help you with this moment. It's you.
Yeah. And like read your inner mood.
Right.
Like, I'm like, there's no such thing. The only perfect man is Jesus. And
right.
he, like, there's no man is going to, just to make it clear, be yes. able to read your unspoken desires somehow and like get it right.
Yeah.
Like, you got to communicate like what you need and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So do we need to have an empowerment night or something?
I feel
like
so.
The energy is picking up. We're like, come on, ladies, let's do this thing. Okay, so speaking of life purpose, because that's really like kind of the main, mm-hmm. the main sort of, like you said, that main thing that you feel like you bring to the world. And this is not like something that you solve, obviously, in 5 minutes as we're wrapping up this podcast. But can you just say a little bit about the concept of a life purpose statement, which can feel very overwhelming, right? And how it's really played out in your own life and in the lives of the clients that you serve.
Yeah. So number one thing that I hope people will take away is when we talk about our life purpose, it feels like this really like esoteric, like elusive conversation mm-hmm. of what are we even talking about? And really, I think in that monster question, I always say it's three things. So if you can just boil it down to, I need to try to get clarity or answers around three parts of my life.
Okay.
That's what I'm really talking about. So one of them is, who am I? It's the identity question. Like what are my gifts? What are my talents? How am I wired? Mm. Right. So that's one thing you're trying to discern with that. The other one is, well, where am I headed? Like, what's my North Star? What's my direction for my life? And all of that should be influenced by some of your, you know, these fancy words I kind of throw in there of like life equity, your heart, your passion and drive. And then the last one is, well, how am I going to get there? So I need like a practical plan. I need to take action steps and I need to be attentive to the influence that I have in my life now. So if you can kind of unpack those three pieces, you'll have a really strong sense of what your life purpose is and kind of be off to the races. So that's what the book kind of walks you through, those three pieces, so that you can go through exercises and kind of process some of that for yourself.
That's awesome. And I know, like, for so many of us, particularly in this era, I don't know, there's something about trying to name our gifts and understand who we are and make a plan feels very vulnerable and can also kind of create insecurity. So I know that we were talking before we started the episode that you guys are actually starting a community as well for this kind of work, right? Because there's just a lot of us out there that were like, thank you, Chanel, for your book. I am never going to be able to do this on my own. Like, what do I do if I know that I need this? And I do feel like an energy, even as I'm listening to us talk together, it's like, I want that. So how can they get connected to that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I like to be a real person in the world. So you can come to my website, and I love actually just like working with real women. So we will have a community. One of the things I'm looking to do is starting in the new year. So 2023, we will have a actual like monthly type of workshop where we're going to help you clear away all the clutter. Like, what's the stuff that's keeping you from your purpose? And how do you practically implement some of the things that you're discovering in the book? Some additional stuff that I just know from my work with women that I wasn't able to wedge into the book. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that'll be a supportive space for you to like live this out.
Okay.
You can go to my website. It's chaneldocoon.com. And it's the Women of Consequence community. And there you can work with me also one-on-one. That's my jam, is just like sitting with you and helping you process this in real time.
Oh my gosh, I love that, you guys. These are such good, like, if you're feeling stirred by this and you want to sleep on it for a day or two, that's fine. But if this is still on your mind and you've just listened to this episode or you're watching us on YouTube, guys, like, don't wait. Like, life is short and you have a great purpose in life. That is the thing that has been coming to my mind again and again as I've been praying for you and thinking about what's happening here. I'm like, you have greatness in you, and greatness doesn't look like a huge paycheck necessarily. It doesn't have to look like a million followers. I feel like that's what the world sells is greatness. That's not what greatness is. Greatness is like Chanel's mom that has led Chanel to be here with us today. It's about the way you show up with your worth and your value and your passions. And so I want to say that today with Chanel here with me. I know she agrees, and this is a wonderful practical way. So if you're still thinking about this in 2 days, I want you to go to Chanel's website, check it out, get the book, get in the community, and you are going to be in such a different place a year from now. Thanks for being with us today. Oh, Chanel, I have to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
This is a big one because I feel like we already alluded to it. So I always like to ask, like, what is a small thing in life? It can be a very like superficial thing, but what's a small thing in life that is bringing you tons of joy, product, app, place, whatever?
Yeah. Okay. Partially the skincare, but
yeah, I definitely thought we were going there. So yeah, setting you up.
So I would say that, but I'll say even more than that. I am obsessed with honey lavender vanilla tea lattes. It is like my whole life.
Are they not too sweet?
No.
It sounds so sweet.
It's you gotta just balance it. It's all about ratios, moderation. So yeah, it's so good. So that's my new passion, and
honey,
I'm an evangelist. Yeah.
Lavender tea.
Yep.
Latte.
Yep.
Four. That's it, guys. All right. Check it out. It's gonna change your life.
Yeah.
Probably the book's gonna change your life.
More so.
More, but Also, if you just need that quick, that's great. I love it, Chanel. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming on Let's Be Real. You are welcome anytime. We obviously have so many more topics to cover.
Yes. Thank you. I'm so lost with you. Flying through the mountain ranges, but I never see the danger. The final boss is swinging, but our